Well, I would appreciate your prayers tonight. I've been thinking about the idea of what we believe. Seeing over my lifetime, people that believe strongly in things that no longer believe strongly in things. I've seen a change in my own life over the years. I would have to admit that I've changed, critiqued my beliefs. I don't believe the same seriousness of things, and other things I believe more seriously than ever, and been altered, I believe, of the Lord's working and dealing in my life. And I changed the way I think about things and believe things. I think it's right that it's that way. But I've also seen my lifetime people that would almost come to physical blows believing something that wasn't too long down the road that they didn't believe it at all. I've seen a lot of arguments made about things, and wasn't long that years go by and the change dramatically. And I'm interested about that, those kind of things, because it affects every one of us. We desire to be faithful to the end and keep our faith and be able to say, as Paul did in 2 Timothy, he said that I fought a good fight. I finished the course and I've kept the faith. And all the things that Paul went through that was there that could have changed and altered the way he thought and believed and what he believed in, he didn't. He was able to take it and go all the way through, and he still believed in the Lord Jesus. He still believed that God had done what God said. He went all the way through. He had the disappointments of the lack of people's favor. He was lifted up and exalted at times. He went through things that could have altered his mind and changed the way he believed, but at the end of it, his testimony was still, I fought a good fight. Well, what was he fighting? He was fighting for his faith. I finished the course, and when I got to the end of it, I've kept my faith. I still believe. And that's what we're interested in today, and I'm assuming that probably all of us recognize that it's really, really hard for us to recognize our own biases, our own prejudices, the things that were created in our youth and in our life, and the things that I basically could say it this way, the things that I want to believe. That's really the driving motive most of the time in why we believe what we do. Is because I want to. I want to believe that. But I want to suggest tonight that we learn to only be prejudiced to the Word of God. That our prejudice is in the will of God. I'm only prejudiced to the will of God. I believe in the will of God, and they're here tonight. I don't want to embarrass them, but I'm going to anyway. My son Seth and his wife Dina, most of you here would know them, they was living in West Virginia, and they have a little grandson, and they lived just down the road, and I saw them practically every day, and then they up and said that they was going to move of all places to Oklahoma, and I can look at that as a, they could go anywhere they want, but they decided that this is where they go, and my son talked to me about that, And so I supported my son, and of course I wanted them there. We go through these things, is what I'm saying. We do go through those, and of course I love my grandson running up and running between my legs and pointing at the candy bag and the things that is there, and I could have looked at them as traitors, to be honest with you. It was just traitors of all the places going to Oklahoma. But I was prejudiced to the will of God. Not to my feelings and my thoughts and my ways. And I told my son, pursue and follow the Lord. Follow the Lord's leading. I can't tell you where you should go or why you should go there. And I can't make your life better for you. And I can't do those things. My idea was, and the whole thing is I want the will of God for their life. Because it's the best way. I'm prejudiced that way. It's the best way to live life. And we will be challenged by our feelings. And we live in a society today, anybody's paying much attention, that is driven by the way people feel. It isn't driven by what we would call the truth. And we should be prejudiced, so prejudiced to the truth. And I don't know how you define it, but I heard it makes total sense to my mind. It is what was, is, and will be. You may have to think about it a little bit, but that is the mark of the truth. There isn't any slackness in it. It isn't mixed with anything. What was, is, and will be is the truth. And we should want the truth in our lives and be prejudiced to the truth. So what is it that causes people to embrace the truth and have the truth and begin to follow the truth? And what is it that causes them to start believing against the truth or going away from that truth? Very interested in that tonight, because we're all in the same place in that. And so, Lord, help us that we have a love for the truth. That means that I'm more committed to the truth than I am loyalty to this nation. And I'm not against patriotic things, but I'm saying we've got to love the truth more than we do the love of country or the love of things or the love of where I live or the love of a person. And I want to start that tonight with that idea in Luke 14 in 25. And there went a great multitude with him. And he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Why would the Lord say such a thing? Why would there be such a bondage? And we'll acknowledge the word hate isn't the English word of utterly despise. It is an idea of loving less. But the Lord says to this, he wasn't trying to be mean or put burdens that can't be borne, because we know the passion, we know the natural idea of loving your mother, loving your father, loving your sister, loving your children. We all feel that, those feelings. But Jesus comes along and puts on the idea of discipleship, the idea that if you don't hate them, if you don't set them to another, well, why? Why is it true? It's because we believe what we want to believe. It's hard not to have biases. It's hard not to believe what we want to believe. And if I want to believe that they're doing right, then it's hard for me to not believe it. I can be influenced by the things that I want to believe. Why do you think there is such a diversity of opinions of what the truth is in our political world, in our economic world? Why is there such a diversity of belief in what gender is and what the Second Amendment is? And why is that true? Because data and facts will not trump the way you feel. It just won't. And it won't do it when it comes to these things either. Because if I have a preference above truth, if I have a preference in my heart, if mom's more important than the truth, then you're going to have a hard time convincing me what mom's saying is not right. Or I'm not going to go against those ideas. And it's true throughout everything that we do. We'll find a reason to believe it. Our hearts will deceive us. And there's a scripture that even says that you better watch your heart. It'll deceive you. A fool trusts in his own heart. Lord, help us to have a love for the truth. Lord, the truth can be painful. It can be very harmful. And we see around us all the time, I've seen a movement that come and go. I'm a little shy to me. I'm going to mention it anyway. But there's a movement among us many years ago now, but that swept through and people went away and they believed in things. And we all know, most of us know what it was. And many of the people that went, that vehemently believed it and done it, but many of them went away. There's still a movement, but many of them changed that belief thing. But they believed it so much because they wanted to believe it. Lord, help us to want the truth. So Jesus says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be, not may not be, he cannot be my disciple, because inevitably there will be something that will cause you to believe something that isn't right. There'll be a beginning point of something that will begin to move us away from the truth of the Lord. There'll be places in there and there'll be ideas in there. That's why the Lord is stating here, unless you hate them less, unless you put God first, there's going to be something arise in your life. Many times, and I thank the Lord because the Lord can use this, there was a man named Paul who was very set in his name was Saul, and he was very set in his ways. And it's obvious by the scripture that he had, and to him, he was serving God the way God should be served. He was being diligent. He was being faithful. He was doing what the Lord had brought him to do, and he was persecuting the church, and he was going to smash down this rebellion, and he was going to do exactly what the Lord wanted him to do. He was so biased with his own thoughts and own ideas, he couldn't see above that to even see the Lord. But down in him, he done what he done because he wanted to do right, but he couldn't see right because of his own biases. And I'm going to tell you, if he'd have loved the Jewish religion more than he loved God, even the shining light wouldn't have changed him. But God looked down into a heart that could be changed, and he brought the right thing to his life to change his mind about things. And he brought this situation in that he had to say, "Who are you, Lord? I'm going to make a marked difference in your life." I've had places where the Lord changed me, not to that extent, maybe a miracle, but he changed me through the circumstances of life and caused me to go on a path to see my own biases, to see my own prejudices about how I want it to be. And I'll make an argument. No, see, a few years ago, I noticed this about, I'm a news watcher and listen to the news, and I'm over in the news, and I got to noticing myself that if somebody was going to express something against my political view, I wouldn't listen to them. I ain't going to listen to that. That'd be discouraging. Don't give me anything but what I believe and I'll be in good shape. Well, I'm not being political here at all or teaching you anything about the politics. I'm saying if you apply the same principle to the things of God, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Because I only want to hear what fits the pattern of my own life. We're not to be making the Bible and the truth fit my feelings. I am to make my life fit the Word of God and love the truth. And whatever the truth is, Lord, I want to love that truth. I feel like this is a good message to start the meeting off with, because as this meeting goes forth, the Lord's going to say a lot of things. He's going to move in a lot of directions, and there's going to be times I'm going to be challenged to whether I'm going to go into that place or not, or where I'm going to accept what the Lord's trying to say about my own life and where I'm at in my life. I've seen over the years, pick on the young people a little bit, but I've seen over the years young people get up to that age that they're ready to span their wings and they're ready to tell the elders that they know better how to live life. And I've actually heard it. I mean, I know what this is, but this is what I think and this is what I'm doing. And if that's a true expression of your seeking the Lord, go for it. If that's a true expression that I want to know what the truth is, I say expand yourself. But be careful that expression is nothing more than me wanting to chase the world. I'm wanting to chase something, and I'm going to try to justify myself out and do it. and I've seen it. And I've seen the end of that, so I can say positively that that was a bad, that wasn't the pursuit of the truth. That was feeling something and wanting something to make a belief out of. Lord, help us to love the truth. All right, there's another scripture we want to look at. In Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, familiar verse. Oh, I'll pick it up. 7th verse, 2nd chapter, 2nd Thessalonians. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, who the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So now, here's the, I'm not going to go into any thing that was up to that, but it obviously was saying that there was a, that there was a underlying problem that was causing people to be in a position and a place to where this could happen to them. And that position was, is that in their life, they didn't receive a love of the truth. Because it is our defense against the things, because, how to express this, but we're going to live life. And we're going to be challenged with a lot of things. A lot of things. And in that challenging of things, the circumstances of life can change our wants. And it's why that people that can be in the truth, they can live in the truth, they can have an understanding of the truth, and that can start changing. And a lot of times there's a root circumstances that causes those changes, and a reason and a want starts changing, the want and the desire. I got a want for the truth. I got a desire for the truth. I just want nothing but the truth. Give me the truth. I want to know the truth. I've said it many times and probably many times here. I have an atomic clock at the house, and I like it because I want to know what time it is. And I don't set it you can't set that one 5 minute difference, but I want to know exactly what time it is, and I don't try to fake my mind out so I'll get to church early. I don't need to do those things. I just want to know what time it is. If I'm late, I'll deal with it. I want to know what time it is. I don't set scales to make myself feel like I'm lighter than I am. I want to know what my weight is. When I look down, I want to know whether I need to go on a diet or not. I want to know what it is. Give me the truth. Give me the truth. Give me the truth. Because that's what's valuable to us, to get the understanding. I can't change my own life this way, but I know the one that can. And if I can go to him with the truth, Lord, give us the truth. We should have a desire and a love for the truth. And circumstances will change. A lot of times circumstance will change that. When we get discouraged that we can't lose the weight, then we will set and tell ourselves something different. If you understand what I'm saying, we are prejudiced about our own lives and our own thing. And if we're not careful, we'll allow that prejudice. And so somebody comes along, and I've been doing this, and I feel like I'm doing a good job, and somebody comes along and completely tears me down, and I get discouraged by it. Do you know that's a potential? If I don't love the truth, that's a potential to change my want to. I'll start feeling different about people and about my job in the Lord and what I should be doing. I can change. I can totally change because the circumstance makes me want something different. I can start building walls against people. I can start saying, you're not going to hurt me again, brother. You're not. You hurt me before. Do you know if you love the truth, you can get through that? Lord, help me to love the truth, love God, love his way more than I love my own life, more than I like my own prestige and honors, because those things will come. And Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. And then through all of that circumstances, I've got the faith. I'm still right there. So I believe that you're supposed to love everybody. I can still say that. I'm prejudiced to the will of God. I'm prejudiced to the word of God. I think that you're supposed to love everybody. I don't know what the application of that love is all the time. There is a tough love sometimes. I think doing some things is not bad for people. There is a whole diverse idea of that. But I still believe that you're supposed to love everybody, and it's my duty as a Christian to love everybody. And the world is getting strange with all kinds of strange things, and I'm still duty-bound to love every transgender, every alternative. I'm still duty-bound to love everybody. But you know, hearts can change. Do I have to love everybody? I mean, this person's really pushing me here. Yes, you can. I just guarantee you can. If you want to look for it that way, you can find an excuse for not. You can find somebody that didn't, that seemed to be. But if you love the truth, Lord, help me to love the truth. Now, there's a story in the Bible. It's in Kings somewhere. I don't think I wrote it down, but I think I can get enough of the story. It's 1 Kings. This is where the king of Israel, he goes in. He goes and gets Jehoshaphat. That's right. So the king wants to go up to Ramoth of Gilead, and he wants to take the. This is Ahab, I believe. He wants to go up and take Ramoth of Gilead from the Syrians. And so he calls in Jehoshaphat, and they're going to join up, and they're going to go and do this battle. And so what's the prophets say? Well, I know what the prophets say. And the prophets come and tell them, oh, go. It's good to go. The Lord said, go, good to go. Who wants to go to battle without the truth? I mean, give us the truth. Be awful discouraging, wouldn't it, if you wanted Ramoth of Gilead so bad? I want it so bad. Is that 2 Chronicles? Okay, was it? So he goes up. So the deal is they go up to battle, and they've got the prophets come in and tell him he can go, and he says, is there any? Jehoshaphat says, is there anybody else? You can't get anybody to, that many people agreeing. You can't get a handful of people to agree on stuff. Hey, you're going to get all those people, these prophets, to agree on that? Jehoshaphat's like, is there anybody else that can give another opinion? Yeah, there's this other prophet. But he's all the time prophesying bad to me, evil to me. Now, wait a minute. What do you want from him? Just tell us the truth. Just tell us the truth. Can I say something? I hope it doesn't hurt anybody's feelings here, but can I say something? The truth don't always come like a cupcake with icing and a cherry on it. It's just the truth. Sometimes it comes from the mouth of somebody that you don't particularly care to hear it from. And sometimes the truth comes so brash and so hard and so different. Sometimes it comes crude and rude. It isn't all sweet. Now, I'm not saying that if you're a deliverer of the truth that you should be rude, crude, nothing like that. You should be as winning as you possibly can. We want everybody to want the truth. But the truth don't always come that way. Sometimes it comes as a knock on the head. It's still the truth. It's still the truth. David's gone along, and one of the descendants of Saul comes over there and starts cursing and swearing at him, you dog, you doing this. And one of his men says, let me go cut his head off. And Saul and David says, no. Maybe the Lord has said, curse David. Maybe he's saying something. In his ranting and his raving, maybe he's saying something that I need to hear. Because I want the truth, so let it come. Let him talk. Let him say it. Let me go away and decipher what he said. Listen to what he said. Maybe he'll say something that I need to hear. If it's the truth, we love folks. There's no offense to those kind of things. We thank God. Thank God that the truth came to me. So they're going to go up to Ramoth Gilead. Who's this prophet? This prophet comes, and you can read it there. But he comes, and sure enough, he ends up saying, Well, no, I saw Israel like sheep. They had no shepherd. No, here he goes again. Did I tell you? Throw him in the dungeon. Feed him the bread of affliction. The water of adversity. When I come back, I'll deal with him. The prophet says, if you come back, God didn't talk to me at all. You know, it says there in that vision he had that there was a lying spirit went into the mouth of the prophets to go tell the king. Why is the Lord dealing with that king like that? He wanted truth. You want to lie about going up to battle? I'll tell you a lie. Here's your lie about your own life. In Thessalonians, back to Thessalonians. Because they received not a love. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Because they didn't get a love of the truth, the safeguard of our lives. It doesn't mean that you're smarter or wiser. It's the avenue that God can work through when I love the truth. More than anything else, the influences that will come into life, I'm going to put God above the political movements. I'm going to put it above the other so-called righteous movements of our time and of our place. I've got to put God above it, and the Word of God will rule me and lead me in all those things. We can believe a lot of things from the past and things that's not true. I'll give you an example. You laughed at this years ago. I was shooting this, I think it was a .22 caliber gun of some kind, and it was made to just shoot with the cap, so it didn't have powder, and best I remember, and it shot. Anyway, it wasn't a powerful gun, and I shot it at something, and the bullet went over and hit the log. I was shooting at the end of a log, and it hit that log, and it bounced back and hit me. And I remember telling my first wife, Tammy, I was telling her that, and said, that bullet bounced back and hit me. And she said, wow, she said, that must have been a really powerful gun to do that. And I thought she was joking, of course, to start with, and I seen she was dead serious, and I said, no, honey, it's just the opposite. It's it's not powerful. And she said, it's not? And then she starts laughing and said, you know, when I was a little girl, I had a BB gun, and I shot a pop can with it. My uncle was there, and I shot this pop can, and the bullet bounced back. And he said, wow, Tammy, you got a really powerful gun there. Bounce that bullet back like that. She went all of her life thinking that the more powerful the gun was, the better the bullet would bounce off of the object. She didn't know anything about guns or anything like that, but something was said when she was little. She took the joke as serious, believed it all of her life, that if you had a powerful gun, it'd bounce back. It just sets what I'm trying to say is that we can have a lot of things in our life that's absolutely wrong that we believe in. Well, Grandma said that, and Mom said it, and it's come down through my lineage to be true. Is it really what was, is, and will be? Is it really the fact of what God has? Is it really the truth? I can be prejudiced by being an American. Do you know that? I deal with a lot of people over the world now, and I'm going to tell you what, you can be prejudiced. You can be really prejudiced. And do you know each culture has their own specific ideas? That's not truth. It's not truth. It's cultural or whatever, but it isn't truth. I recently run into a guy who was over in Africa. I was talking to him, and I was challenging something a little bit. We were good friends, but I was challenging something a little bit, and the guy said, "Well," I said, "it's kind of hard to accept that." And he said, "Oh, brother," said, "that's just cultural here." And I said, "Yeah, and I give for that. But, I mean, there has to be something that can go above culture. There is something that goes above culture. Our culture isn't any better than any other culture. I'm just saying the truth is to trump all culture. Everything that it needs to. It's the truth to guide our lives by. We shouldn't be ashamed of it. Or try to minimize it. This is the Word of God. And it means something. Lord, help me to know what the truth is and how to live it, how to apply it into my life. There has been a lot of shipwrecks. In the Bible gives us a lot of cases to where the people in there that were faithful people. King Saul was a faithful man, chosen first king of Israel, had a great opportunity. The scriptures all go back to David and say they're either like their father David or they're not, but it should have been Saul. He was the first king. But what happened, Saul? Saul, what happened to you? What changed your want? Because somewhere it took a humble man that followed the Lord that was called to be king, and circumstances changed his want. And he got to having a whole different belief system about how things ought to be. And he believed totally different at the end of his life and died tragically. And when David come along and he was servant to Saul, he should have recognized the truth. He should have recognized what the truth was. God's hand was on David. That's the truth. Give me the truth, Lord. Help him. Bless my servant. No, he wanted to be the big dog. He raised himself up, and those kind of things causes your want to be different. When you start having ambitions above what you should do, you'll have a different want. When you want to succeed above God's will for you, you'll have a different want. And you'll have a want that'll take you away from the things of God. Oh, Solomon, what happened to you? A man that said, what a noble thing to do. Tell the Lord when he come and said, I'll give you whatever you want. He says, "I give me wisdom that I can lead this great people that you give me." What a wonderful idea. God gave him riches and wisdom and all of those things. Solomon, what happened in the middle of wisdom? Even the strongest man, Samson, and the smartest and wisest man, Solomon, got their wants changed. And when the wants changed, their belief followed to match the wants that they had. And Solomon, I don't believe, ever would have done in the beginning of the time what he did at the end and made to his wives and made the high places and the altars and let them build temples to and what they did to that. He got to that place because it made sense to his feelings, his mind, his heart. He allowed it to trump the truth, even though he was wise. I'll never be that wise, so that makes me vulnerable. I'll never be as strong as Samson, so I can recognize the weakness. I'll never be in the place that Paul was in, so I feel feeble. But you know what? None of that matters, Lord. Help me to love the truth. Give me a love for the truth. I say this with all respect. We can do it right in amongst us. We can group ourselves up and get an idea that's wrong about it. God loves everybody. Remember that. God will work with people where you won't. God dealing with everybody. Everybody that is blood washed is a member of this that we love and cherish. That's the truth. I still say it's the truth. I still respect and honor people that say it. I know there's a lot of falseness and don't want any of it. I want the truth, and we should be promoters of the truth. There is so many false ways and false things and out there, but the only way to combat it is with the truth. Lord, help us to live the truth. Over in 6th chapter of John. Oh, my feelings, my feelings. This is what I feel. I had somebody, back when I was first saved, me and a friend of mine, he was just saved, I was just saved, and we were talking about what you should and shouldn't do on Sunday. Well, I didn't know nothing about it already. I mean, I knew the traditional thoughts and thoughts. We got into discussion about it, and it was all over someone that had got onto their child for had a pair of scissors snipping some grass one Sunday. It was a discussion that rose out of that, and I said this or this, and he said, I think that. I just feel like that if you don't, you can do anything that you want, just as long as you don't take money for it. I think it's fine to do what you want. And I said, really? I mean, I've heard a lot of arguments, but I didn't hear that one. And I said, really? What scripture did you get that? Where did you get that from? I was sincere. Where did you get that from? He said, I don't got no scripture. That's the way I feel about it. Okay. We can feel a lot of things about things. Way we feel about it. But your feelings ain't gonna get it. Somebody said recently, facts don't care nothing about your feelings. Feelings can be good, they can be bad. Over in John, 6th chapter of John, familiar scripture. Sixth chapter of John. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Well, here was a circumstance when Jesus comes along, no doubt, and many people become disciples and they started following for one reason or another. They was moved by the motion and the time, and they saw and heard of no doubt, the feeding of the 5,000, or they heard of the miracles that Jesus was doing. He was notable. He's a powerful speaker. The word was going out that this was the man and this kind of thing, and so they believed and become disciples. I'm a disciple. I believe. I'll follow. And along they follow. But here comes a circumstance. Here comes something. It's going to cost you something. You're something different. Unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. You're no part of this. Well, what's this? What's this about? I'm going to have to follow in this way or do it this way. Here comes a circumstance. Many of his disciples from that moment had a belief change. They altered. Something moved them for it, and something moved them away. We need to love the truth. Lord, give us a love for the truth that goes above everything else. It isn't popular, but it's right. Sometimes maybe your own family won't appreciate it. Oh, Daddy, why didn't you support me here? Well, I support you. But that's wrong. Uh-oh. It's better for everybody. It's what really love is. Lord, help us to love the truth. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye go away, also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. That's the truth. That's the truth that is offered to us, a way of eternal life. Lord, give us that truth. And again, I want to be so bold to say, it does not belong to a political party and never will. At best and worst, it'll be contrary to it in most ways. We need to love the truth wherever it's at. Lord, help me to love the truth. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.